You're listening to the Sound of Football podcast, a ride on the football fairground. I remember the last time they played in a friendly was in the early 90s, and it was when Jeff Thomas missed that absolute howler. It was clear through our goal.
He hit the corner flag with a shot.
Yeah, I know. It was because he was a Palace player at the time, and we were all immensely proud that the Palace player was sort of like playing for England.
That's our boy on there.
That's our boy out there. That's our boy there making an absolute fool of himself. A lovely man, Jeff Thomas.
Hello and welcome. You are listening indeed to another edition of the Sound of Football podcast. Chris Oakley here, your genial host once again, and I'm very pleased to say that I have with me, across on the other side of the internet, Terry DeFallon and Graham Sibley. Welcome.
Hello.
Who's just knocked their microphone over? Come on.
No, that was a glass of beer I just put down, and I'm now refilling it.
Beer. Why didn't I think of that?
Damn. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Right.
Please continue.
Never mind. Any discussion?
This is why we don't get nominated for anything. Isn't
it? You had to bring it up, didn't you?
In association with sobriety. Okay. Well, now, first of all, I just want to do a shout out, if you like, to our listener. One of our listeners, Canadian Geordie, got in touch with us on Twitter. We put an appeal out, as we often do, just saying, anyone got any suggestions for what to talk about tonight? And Canadian Geordie very kindly suggested that we talk about the MLS final. Unfortunately, we can't oblige you with that because I don't think any of us have actually seen it, have we, chaps?
Did you say the Canadian final?
No, Canadian Geordie is our friend's name, but the MLS final, yes.
Gotcha.
How much of that have you drunk already?
Only a couple of things.
So, unfortunately, sorry about this Canadian Geordie, but we haven't seen it. And in fact, it is pretty recent. It was only like 24 hours ago or something as we speak, so we haven't really had a chance to see it. But we hope to maybe do a bit of a discussion about MLS at some point in the future, if we can. So apologies for the time being. Sorry about that. But we are instead going to turn our attention closer to home. Sorry, were you going to say something there, Graham?
No.
I thought I heard somebody like, yeah, as if they were going to say something. What a mess. Yes, we're going to talk about the Premier League this week. In fact, we're going to look at who may be the next candidate for the winner of the sack race. Who's going to get sacked as manager of a Premier League club? Because as far as I'm aware, no one's really been focusing on that kind of thing recently. Everyone's been sort of talking about the teams are doing well and your Rooneys and all the rest of it. But it seems that we've had one or two minor crises going on in recent weeks. We've had Carlo Ancelotti. He's been in the headlines the last few days. Rumours about him quitting. My team, sadly, West Ham at the other end of the table, doing badly. So everyone's sort of suggesting that Avram Grant could be leaving. So I thought we'd take a bit of a wider view on this and to assess if there are any other candidates and trying to work out who may be sacked next as coach or indeed manager of a Premier League club. I'm going to throw it open to the floor. Let's start off with Carlo Ancelotti. He's gone to some lengths to say that he's going to be staying put for the time being. Do you believe him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, question two. what could possibly sort of force him out the door? Because he's saying that he's not in charge at Chelsea, but then surely he must have known that there's the likes of Roman Abramovich and so on and so forth at the club, so he presumably would have known that.
They've got quite a lot of directors of football on that, haven't they, at Chelsea?
Yeah, and it does sort of bring this whole sort of like, the sort of question marks over Ray Wilkins' exit over in there as well. And all may not be happy behind the scenes at the club. It will be interesting to see what happens this week when they're playing in Europe against a team that they should basically trounce.
Well, they're playing, is it Žilina they're playing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they're playing Žilina. But again, they should win. Žilina lost their last game in the Champions League 7-0. In fact, Žilina lost at the weekend in the league, their first time ever in this season. They played 17 games and they lost one. They lost to the second place team. I can't remember the name. So, really, I mean, there should be no excuses whatsoever for Chelsea. And you would imagine that there won't be. I mean, I think that Chelsea could probably win that game with, on one leg. Still and all, it's an intriguing... I mean, it was all a big Twitter rumour, wasn't it? So it may just be nothing more than that. We've had them before, Twitter rumours, and they're really good Twitter rumours because they spread like absolute wildfire.
we had one last year, didn't we, about Harry leaving, didn't we? When one bookmaker stopped taking bets and then they all did within about half an hour.
We had one about Rafa as well, maybe even the year before that, and that did the rounds. And I'm sure there have been many, many more that have been done the rounds while, you know, and we've been working or sleeping or, you know, touching our asses or something like that.
Drinking.
So there's not much drinking, probably. Let's rule nothing out. So there's not much that, that you know, that to read into that, apart from the fact that Twitter does tend to spread a really, really good rumour, even if it's complete rubbish.
Well,
but you know, 3 defeats in the last 5 games, though, for a club like Chelsea, that's not good enough, is it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is certainly it's an interesting to see how Abramovich, who won't presumably be used to this kind of form, and then how he reacts. Does he react by being incredibly impatient and sacking the coach? Does he take a broader view, or what do we think?
I'm not really sure. None of us actually know, of course, what's happened at Chelsea. We don't know whether, because there's all these kind of different things going on about whether Ancelotti vowed to leave and then he was persuaded to sort of stay put, and whether Ancelotti's tried to kind of defend the honour of Ray Wilkins in his absence or whether he hasn't and all the rest of it. So I don't know. I just, the fact of the matter remains, he's a top quality manager at Ancelotti, and of course is that time honoured phrase that we always come up with, which is, if you get rid of a manager like that, who are you going to replace him with? And you know, he's about as good as they get at the moment. And you know, the last year or two with regards to Chelsea, this current run of form they're on, i.e. 3 defeats in the last 4 in the league, that's about as bad as it gets. My money's on them sort of getting it all back together again, especially if they thrash Zielina, which there's every possibility will happen. So I'm expecting this to be a bit of a storm in a teacup, and it'll all right itself in the end, and everyone will forget all about it. So I think it'll kind of come to nothing myself. Graham?
Yeah, well, it can't be escape. The fact can't be escaped that they are still top of the league, albeit on goal difference now. But they're still in the best position to be at when you're at the end of a bad patch. So it's a long way. I mean, as I said in my prediction at the beginning of the season, I didn't think they were going to win the title because I didn't think their squad was strong enough. And you know, their first 11 can beat any side in any division. But once injuries and suspensions start kicking in, I don't think they've got the depth to win a title.
Hmm.
And I think that's been shown up. And I think with off-the-field shenanigans going on in the dressing room as well, that's what it looks like is happening anyway. It looks like, you know, Chelsea are fragile, for want of a better word. More fragile than, say, Man United, who, although they haven't really torn up any trees this season, still haven't lost after 14 games, which is better than what I predicted. For those people who weren't listening to the beginning of the season, I predicted that Man City would win, and
I'd keep quiet about that if I were you.
Well, yeah, but then you look at the table and
they're only
3 points off.
So, I was just going to say, just on a slight tangent, I mean, I still find that Man City aren't convincing because they keep losing to the teams they should be beating, and they only decide that they're beating the teams quite often that you wouldn't think they'd beat, the decent team. So it's a bit.
But then again, so are Chelsea and Arsenal. So,
well,
it's that kind of season, I think, this season, which is great. But so,
yeah,
I mean, like, you've got the top four with only 3 points between them, with over a third of the season gone. I think that's great. And when you see,
I was just going to say, in terms of their defeats, they've lost to West Brom, they've lost to Wolves. The only other time they've been beaten, I think, this season would have been against Arsenal, would it not? I think early doors they lost to Sunderland. That's not a terrible record. Arsenal is a game that, you know, you could reasonably expect them to lose, albeit that it was at home. But yeah, they lost to the 2 Black Country clubs, but their record isn't that awful. They lost to Lech Poznan, but I'm not quite sure we count that. But I think a lot of it is down to sort of, you know, the 2 0-0 draws that they had, Man United and Birmingham, and the people went, oh god, they're drab and boring, and an unconvincing performance even against West Brom, and that Lech Poznan defeat, which I think in a way kind of sort of like added, you know, a certain sort of, you know, gloominess to Manchester City that perhaps isn't there. They're actually pretty good. They're a good
side. I was going to say, I'd certainly concede that they're a better prospect than they were last year, for my money. I don't think.
But their manager's under pressure constantly, though, isn't there?
What's I was just going to say.
He could be sacked. I mean, if we're talking about sack races, and Mancini is always being talked about as being potential sacking, isn't he?
Yes, yeah, he's under a different kind of threat because of basically the pressure of obviously, you know, being successful for all the money that's been outlaid. So, you know, one still can't write off the possibility that that Mancini will go. It depends on kind of if they go on a bad run. If they go on a kind of run that ended up sort of doing for Mark Hughes, then who knows?
Well, do you know who I think is going to be the first one to go? And I'm going to go a bit left field. I think it's going to be Big Sam.
Big Sam?
What, the new takeover?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
New money coming in.
Runners. Yeah, well, I suppose it depends how much money actually does come in. But the old cliche is that when a new board takes over, they want their own man.
Own man, yes.
Although, in fairness, it's more than a cliche. It just, you know, there's a sound business precedent to back that up. They do tend to want their own man. But I don't think that's unreasonable assumption. Mm. I think it's a completely unreasonable sacking,
given won three out of their last four games.
Yeah. It's not an unreasonable assumption, put it that way.
The statistic that I kind of threw into the ring at the start of the scene, which I don't think you two quite wanted to subscribe to, was the fact that, you know, it's been ages since Blackburn Rovers finished in the bottom half of the table. And I think you both kind of said yes, okay, yes, but. And I mean, as we speak at the moment, they're kind of 11th and heading upwards, but you just never quite know, really. And as you say, new people taking over, they may want their own man. So that's not a bad shout. You'd get good odds on that at the bookies, I suspect, if you were that way inclined.
Oh, what, 50 in play markets? Ooh.
Ooh. Corners.
Corners.
The full time result.
We should have that at 15 minutes into the podcast, you know. So suddenly Ray should come on and
hold up, here's the latest odds.
Hold up, the latest odds on some spurious opinion is coming up now.
Terry, to predict Blackpool will win the title, 11 to 8, 50 in play markets, ooh.
Hold up.
Where were we?
Up the apples and pears. Right.
Yes. Well, we were talking about Blackburn. So, Terry, who do you think is going to be the first to go then?
I've got a funny feeling that Ian Holloway might go.
Well, do you know what? You must have been reading my notes. I've just been feverishly scribbling down because that's a possibility.
The situation is just seems to be quite volatile with him generally. Being a supporter of a championship club. And I'm sure that any championship club supporters listening to this will perhaps have some affinity with this view. I'm not into the cult of Holloway. He's proved himself to be a bit of a knob in the past.
Sorry, you've been reading the News of the World again, haven't you?
Well, yes.
But do carry on.
I'm just concerned that either the situation actually with the club itself is quite volatile, because there's stories, we won't go into them, about the situation there in terms of finances. He keeps saying quite outlandish things about, oh, I'm going to quit if this happens, or you know, I'm going to, and I'm just a, I just can't help thinking that it's a kind of situation where it could really, really kick off, or somebody else gets sacked. Which obviously would mean he won't be the first manager to get sacked, but stick with it while we're here. And he ends up making a play for that, or even dafter, he ends up going, I don't know, to a championship club, doing a bit of an Owen Coyle, do you know what I mean?
Well, I was just going to say,
maybe he'll go to a championship club, but going to another club.
If the right opportunity comes along,
that he's quite capable of doing it. He's done it before. In the past, I mean, certainly Plymouth fans will tell you all about that. But in fairness to him, he's been sacked enough times to know that loyalty counts for absolutely nothing in his job. Yeah. And if somebody comes along with a bigger paycheck and better prospects, of course he's going to take it.
Please. No, I was just going to say, it was rather curious. I don't know if you heard what he sort of said in his kind of post-match interview on Match of the Day on Saturday night when it was on. He said, I think it was Oh, who was it? It was Jonathan Dudar was interviewing him and said...
Jonathan Pierce.
That's him. It basically said, you know, so what about these rumours? Are you still thinking about leaving? And he said something like, well, he said, I'd like to think that, you know, I know the people that run the club here well, and I'd like to think that if I handed in my resignation, that they'd turn it down. So I don't think they will allow me to resign. And I thought, are you sure about that?
That's the sound of Ian Holloway reversing around a corner.
Beep, beep, beep.
Well, hang on. That's what I actually said.
Yeah,
but I've just got a feeling about that. I mean, other people. I mean, I think Mark Hughes is in a very, very difficult.
Well, actually, I'm looking at the table now, and I'm thinking that my other prediction of Fulham going down.
You're on fire. You are.
You are the man who predicted.
I am the.
go on, Graham. I'll give you.
I'm the new Paul the Octopus, am I?
we've done this.
You have a big in another your podcast. Legs.
Yes. We're not doing this again, all right? you're full of ink, yeah. Let's go back to our Dortmund trip, and you'll hear all of this again.
Great days, but no, yeah. I mean, you got. I've forgotten his name now.
Gerard Houllier,
that's him. Sorry, I'm just having a complete blank. Yeah, so Fulham, only one place above the relegation zone. And, of course, we've mentioned Avram Grant already. Now, this is an interesting one. Obviously, something I have a vested interest, being a West Ham fan. And I've got to say, as much as I believed he was the best manager around that they could have got in to do the job when Golden Sullivan took over, I do find that Avram Grant is really ultra blinkered at the best of times. I mean, his classic one from last year when he was still at Portsmouth, he was when there were all these kind of, whatever it was, 9-point penalties and stuff like that being dished out, he sort of said, I'm not happy because football is played on the pitch, not in a boardroom, or not in a, you know, it's not decided by people in you know, sitting behind desks and things like this. And I thought, no, sometimes it is decided by people in offices sitting behind desks. And now he's come out with this thing of... I think we've got a very good squad. It's all fine. I've absolutely, you know, I'm totally optimistic about our prospects, and I think take the blinkers off. Don't you know what you're seeing here? Yeah. Well, and it's looking really bad now, unfortunately, even though I have to admit.
Because I've watched West Ham a couple of times recently, and you know, they're not full of bad players. They're just playing really badly, and in defence, they're hopeless.
Oh dear, terrible. Absolutely terrible. I mean, I've been relative, as I said, on a rival podcast, no less I can say Two-Footed Tackle, last week. You know, it's as you quite rightly say, Graham, the defence is shocking. We've played some good football at times, and we've even scored goals in many a match. We're by no means having too much of a problem scoring goals, but it's just defence is hopeless, and it does, as I think to some extent was shown at the weekend in West Ham's game against Liverpool, it does with West Ham tend to revolve around Scott Parker, and if he's not there, then we're in big trouble.
Yeah.
We did have a lot of other injury problems, it has to be said. I mean, we only had like one sort of central midfielder of note playing at the weekend, and that was Mark Noble, just recovering from an appendix surgery and so on and so forth. So it's looking really bad, and I'm just clinging on to the vague possibility that they might be able to buy someone in the January transfer window, but frankly there's not even a guarantee of that because there's not a lot of money knocking around at Upton Park at the moment. So I'm starting to fear the worst now. I think realistically maybe the question is, are Golden Sullivan the kind of owners that would sack someone? I can't remember what their form was like, say, at Birmingham. I don't know. I think they were quite faithful, weren't they, with the managers there? I don't know.
They were quite forgiving, weren't they?
Yeah,
I think they'll be governed by their wallets. If they can afford to sack him, then I think they might do. But yeah. I think that they'll be, to an extent, they'll say, well, look, can we, do we want to actually pay out the money?
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of dildos to sell to <isn't it? laughs>
You certainly have. You've got to shift some serious amounts of sex toys to pay off for Avram Grant, aren't you?
Even the Kenwyn Jones dildos are going to have to, you know, be hiked up in price, I think.
Kenwyn Jones? What's that? Is that like
there's a reference to
Rabbit or something?
Anyone who didn't listen to the Two-Footed Tackle podcast last week won't know what that means, but I suggest you download
it. Oh, yes, I did.
Liar.
Sorry, I haven't actually listened to it yet.
Oh, shame on you. And I call you you know, co-presenters. Cool.
Oh, how lovely. moving swiftly on, now that we've lost Gary and Chris as our listeners, let's see who else we're going to alienate. Who would you like to see as Avram Grant's replacement as a West Ham fan, Chris?
Good Lord. Who's available? Alan Kirbishley. Yes, he's good. Let's get him back.
David O'Leary's around.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Alan Pardew, you want him? He's not doing.
What a great idea! I think David O'Leary aside, the thing about West Ham is that they've pretty much gone through them all, haven't they?
Well, yeah, it's pretty much the last stop on the managerial express for any manager, isn't it, really? Like, once you've been at West Ham, that's the last stop.
Yeah, you're now off the merry-go-round, aren't you, really? Yeah.
Here's one for you, then. How about Ian Holloway? Fancy him?
Oh, I think he'd be great, actually. I mean, I think West Ham fans could tolerate being relegated if they were playing the kind of football that's become somewhat, anachronistically attached to West Ham over the years. If West Ham played decent football and still relegated, that would take a little bit of the sting out of it, but... I don't know, but when they pointed out Avram Grant,
you know they picked someone out of thin air, like the previously mentioned Ray Wilkins, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, that's always. I must admit, his name did flash through my mind. I thought he's available all of a sudden.
No, I don't think that will be a good idea. Are there any ex Hammers sort of like ligging around looking for work at the minute?
They've gone through them all, haven't they?
I can think of in recent history, yes. I don't know.
Well, another option, of course, is Steve McClaren. Looks like he could lose his job. If he doesn't turn things around at Wolfsburg pretty quickly, he could lose his job. But he's already been linked to the club once before, so tick-tock. Mm. You never know.
Well, you never know.
You heard it here first, listeners.
Yes. I'm sorry to say, but if Graham had said it, I'd have believed it.
Fair enough. Yeah,
such is the faith I have in the men.
We'll see what happens in 4 weeks' time, and if there's a manager with a brolly, you know, at Upton Park
hanging around,
yeah, you can send the check to me.
I will.
Listeners won't know, but on a podcast that never actually got aired, Terry predicted that Wayne Rooney would be going to Bayern Munich.
Yes, that's before it all crashed and burned, isn't it? Yes, that's right, yes.
How dare you? How dare you? How dare you recite from a forbidden podcast? Do you know, the thing is, the funny thing about that was, that same week on the Bundesliga podcast, which is a podcast I listen to and enjoy hugely, an actual Bundesliga journalist suggested that could actually happen, that Wayne Rooney could go to Bayern Munich. And he was laughed out of the studio.
He was shooed.
with good cause. And I had to have a bit of a chuckle when I heard that one. But we can't end this podcast without mentioning at least Roy Hodgson and Chris Hughton, who seem to be, you know, perma-sacking material, aren't they?
Indeed. I think it'd be an absolute disgrace if Chris Hughton was sacked as Newcastle coach. I mean, he's just done fabulous work, and he should be. I mean, they're in 10th place, for heaven's sake. I mean, is that not good enough for a start off? I mean, they've stuck by him, and rightly so. And I think if anyone at the club even so much as breathes heavily the suggestion that they should get rid of him, I think they should be fired on the spot, because he's done a terrific job.
I think it's damaged limitation time for the board at Newcastle. I mean, like, they don't want to do anything that could be even remotely seen as unpopular.
Quite so.
But there has been talk, though, hasn't there?
There has been lots and lots of talk, and lots of sense, quite credible rumours.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't put it past them either, really. You would not put it past them at all to get rid of him for absolutely no reason at all, other than the fact that they think someone else is better.
I mean, a lot of it, I think, to an extent, there's a perception of the club up there that perhaps is not quite sort of real. and they sort of maybe think that they're slightly bigger than they were. I mean, I can't remember when on one occasion when they lost one of their many managers. And I remember a vox pop of one of the supporters saying that, you know, that they were quite like to have Arsene Wenger there. And I was just completely sums up the attitude at the time. I just thought, I thought, for goodness sake, I mean, they were a Premier League club at the time, and so, you know, but they obviously have this perception of themselves, which I don't think is entirely fair or accurate. Brian Phillips, a run of play, sort of like quoted that line, and said, well, that, he said, he would be a fine choice if Rinus Michels wasn't available. I think that they do, perhaps, even you'd like to think that a season down in a back in, you know, in the Championship and the second tier has maybe sort of like given him a bit of a reality check. Hmm. I think to an extent part of his problem might be part of his problem. Well, I don't know where I was going with that. It's got someone else start talking now, and I'll try and catch up where
we'll
I know what it was. I know what it was. Chris Hughton, part of Chris Hughton's problem is he's not being paid enough. His pay is lousy. He's still on assistant coach's money. And I think that they don't want to give him a pay rise. And that's where I think it's coming from.
Yeah.
They don't want to give him the pay rise that he deserves, because he's a top 10 Premier League manager as we speak.
Mm. But that would suggest he's on a hiding to nothing then.
Exactly.
Mm. Quite so. And
I'll stop now because I really caught badly there. That's the second week in a row.
I know. What's happening with you, Terry? Anyway. We'll have a discussion about this, you know, in stern words afterwards. I think we must maintain our professional standards. You mentioned Roy Hodgson there. I mean, obviously he's turned things around now at Liverpool, and one would suggest that's kind of like crisis over. And okay, whether or not they finish in the top four remains to be seen. But they'll at least finish in the top half of the table, which a few weeks ago you wouldn't have exactly banked on. So fair play to them. I just wanted to very quickly bring up, though, David Moyes, because is it not time for Everton to look into the possibility of getting rid of their manager? I mean, they usually turn things around as well, but they're languishing a bit at the moment. And
2-1 down to Sunderland as we speak, listeners.
Well, there you go. Down to Sunderland. A latest score for you there.
Indeed, yeah.
So, you know, you have to sort of ask yourself, I wonder if, well, I'm asking myself whether maybe David Moyes, but it's all a question whether he can turn it round again. What do you reckon, Terry?
Ask Graham. I know last time.
No, I don't think they're going to. I mean, he's been in these sort of situations before at the club, and you know, he's managed to pull out of it. I think. Well, what will be interesting is what we mentioned last week was because they're going to lose Cahill, aren't they, for January?
Yes.
I presume they are, anyway.
For the Asian Cup, Championship.
So, if they're down that position at the beginning of January, and they could well be consolidated down there come the end of January, which is worrying time for them, because I don't know if they've got the squad to scrap out of it.
Well, I've wondered that for a few seasons, but like I come back to the original point, they always seem to somehow pull it out of the hat.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Fulham, for instance, and you look at their squad, and you have to say their squad's quite experienced, quite a good squad. Maybe things just aren't working out with their manager. They could turn it around. Wigan traditionally do turn it around. They have a stronger end of the season. They're quite good at that. That could leave Everton exposed, if we assume that Wolves and West Ham are relegated. Sorry, Chris, but if we make that assumption, which is a bold assumption after 14 games...
Yeah,
but if we look at it, I mean, you're looking at there, when we look at from bottom upwards, the Premier League, West Ham, Wolves, Wigan, Fulham, Everton, West Brom, Birmingham, Aston Villa, Blackpool. I mean, you know, you look
they're
at Blackpool
tight,
and you
though,
always, you're always going to wonder about Blackpool. They could get relegated because we just don't know enough about them to know one way or the other. And all the rest of them there, you'd have to say all of those teams are, you know, wouldn't see any of them getting relegated with the, you know, but then, and so it, of course it leaves Everton massively exposed. Everton have just equalised, by the way.
Equalised?
Perfect timing.
Mikel Arteta is just bang well in. Everton are brilliant, they're going to stay up this season, and
we can still turn this around, chaps.
Yes.
We've still got 3 minutes.
We can flip-flop our opinions as well as Sky Sports do, you know.
Oh dear. Well, do you know what? We're rapidly running out of time, as we've just suggested, and we haven't even mentioned people like Alex McLeish or Roberto Di Matteo or Roberto Martinez and so on and so forth, various other candidates. But as we always say, We do appreciate your feedback. So if there's anybody we've forgotten to mention, or if you want to back up or indeed dismiss any of our suggestions, do get in contact with us at all the usual places. We have full details at the end of the podcast, so we'd like to hear your thoughts and opinions. But that is pretty much it for this week's show. It's probably time we packed up and went. But before we go, a couple of other things. First of all, just to tip you off about a new Bundesliga podcast, for which I shall now pass over to my esteemed colleague, Terry de Fellen. Do tell us more, Terry.
Yeah, Bundesliga show starts on Thursday/Friday. We'll be recording it on Thursday, probably publishing it on Friday. Myself, I write the Bundesbag, for those who don't know, and Bundesliga World blog post, the blogger Bundesliga World from the chap John Hartley there. We're going to get together once every fortnight or so to record a podcast on the Bundesliga. So listen out for that towards the end of the week, if you will. Thank you all.
I, for one, will certainly be looking forward to that. Just remains just to say that next week we hope you'll join us again for another Sound of Football podcast, because, in particular, next week's show is a Sound of Football special. If you tuned in back in September, you will have heard our previous special that we did when we went off to Cologne and took in lots of German football while we were there, and had a fantastic time with our good friend Gary Andrews from the Two-Footed Tackle podcast. Well, if you like that, I'm hoping that you're going to like our next one, because we're going off to another football match, this time within our own country. We're not going off to Germany again, sadly. We're actually going to be going off to see the FA Cup second round match between Colchester United and Swindon Supermarine. No, us neither. Not only are we going to be joined by Gary Andrews again, which is fantastic news, but he's also bringing his cohort from Two-Footed Tackle, Chris Knee, which we're absolutely thrilled about. Glad to have him on board. So the five of us will be telling you all about that particular match next Saturday. We'll be giving you lots of atmosphere and giving you our insight into everything that we see and indeed hear at
if
the game.
If it's not snowed off.
Oh, no. Oh, we'll have to come up with some other plan B then. We'll just have a kickabout over the park or something.
If you're looking for a hint of what that might be like, then do go back through our archives and look out for our trip to Dortmund, which was tremendous fun to record, and we hope you'll find tremendous fun to listen to.
Yes, Bundesliga special, wasn't it, or something we called it? I can't remember. But you'll find it. Yes, go back to sort of September in our archives, footballfairground.com. That's the place to find it. But next week, we will be at the Western Homes Community Stadium. Hurrah! Do join us for that. But for now, just want to say thank you very much indeed for listening. Hope you enjoy the show. Join us again next week. But for now, from Terry, from Graham and myself, it's a fond farewell. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh.
Have it.
We value your comments on the Sound of Football. Please contact the show via the following methods. Go to www.footballfairground.com and leave a comment on the Sound of Football page. Or you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/soundoffootball. Or on Twitter at twitter.com/soundoffootball.
Very good. Just a bit more sour, please.